keep it muted. This is just for our uses. Cross Community Working Group on the use of country/territory names as TLDs. ICANN 52 Singapore Brass Bazaar Room. February 9th, 2015. Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello, hello.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the meeting of the cross-constituency, or cross-community, in fact, working group on country and territory names as top-level domains. May I ask, please, that the recording be started? Thank you very much. And may I, given that we have plenty of room at the table, may I invite everyone to come join us at the table, please, so you're closer to a microphone and can participate. We're happy to, absolutely delighted to have you here. That's marvelous. No one follows instructions. It's a wonderful start. May we begin, please, by, we have new faces in the room, and that's wonderful. I would appreciate if we could begin with a quick introduction, who you are and whether you're a member of the CWG, and that's not to call anyone out. If you're not, we very much welcome observers and participants. And I'll be happy to begin. My name is Heather Forrest. I'm a co-chair of the CWG and a member of the GNSO.
Everyone. I am Annabeth Lang from the CCNSO constituency and also a co-chair of the group.
I'm Lars Hoffman, I'm ICANN staff. I'm not good with microphones, and I'm supporting this group.
Maxim Alzoba, FITID, NTAG Vice Chair.
Jordi Pereira, CCNSO, and late member of this group.
Daniel Kalchev, CCNSO, too.
Mahima Kaul from the Observer Research Foundation, India, and I've come to observe.
Joke Brake from URIT, the .eu registry.
Patrick Jones from ICANN staff and also liaison from ICANN to the UN group of experts on geographic names.
David McCauley with VeriSign. I'm not part of the group.
Yeah, my name is Erno Storm. I'm from Norway in the GAC. Myself, I'm not part of the group, but following it. Thank you.
Laura Hutchison from Nominet Registry for .uk, part of the group.
Jaap Akkerhuis from NLNet Labs, and I'm actually the ISO 3166 expert to this group.
Bart Boswinkel, CCNSO support staff.
Ron Sherwood, .vi, CCNSO liaison to ALAC and a member of this group.
Gabrielle Achetek, CCNSO Secretary. Can also just say that we're supposed to have Mirjana Tasic joining us on the phone, but she's not with us yet, so I'll let you know.
Paul Schindler from .au, CCNSO, and one of the co-chairs of this group.
Cheryl Langdonor, where am I from? Good question. I know I'm part of this group. I'm the ALAC liaison to the GNSO, and prior relationship, of course, was with the working party and study group involved in this topic as well.
Thank you. Carlos Gutierrez. I'm a member of the GNSO Council for the NOMCOM and co-chair of this group. Thank you.
Hi, Van Bentley from Amazon, just observing.
Pim Pastoors from SIDN, just observing.
Hubert Welleman, SIDN, also observer.
Hi, my name is Toshi from Japan. I'm a SPS Association and also a Kyoto Registry.
St. Joyce from Deloitte, just observing.
Michelle Scott-Tucker, ASIG GAC Secretariat, as an observer.
Tracy Hind, ASIG GAC Secretariat, as an observer.
You don't get away with that.
Julia Charvelin, GAC Support Staff.
Ozan Shahin, GAC Support Staff.
I'm Eddie Hertel from the ZI Central Registry, .Africa.
This is Heather Forrest. Thank you all very much for being here, and particularly warm welcome to those who are joining us for the first time. My co-chairs have asked me to chair the meeting. I'll do that up until around 1:30, at which point I'll transition with Annabeth's good graces over to Annabeth. Our agenda, we have an agenda. It's a relatively short one that begins with the review of the options paper that you see on the screen in front of you. Come on in. And what we'll do, I suspect we have enough. Yeah, I suspect we have enough for everyone. I'd like to, before we go into this topic in a substantive manner, say a bit about what we've done since ICANN in LA. We've had a rather productive period despite the holidays, and that's really all thanks to the hard work of our support staff, in particular Lars and Bart, who have kept us on track and make sure that we had something substantive to do at this meeting. I suppose one of the very big challenges to what this CWG is facing is the enormity of the task. This is really the primary conclusion of the study group, what a big task we have ahead of us to determine whether or not it's feasible to develop a consistent, clear, coherent, predictable framework in relation to the use of country and territory names, determine whether that's possible, and then make recommendations to the extent that it is possible. And we haven't dealt with substance up to now because we've largely been grappling with the procedural issues, and I'm hopeful that today will be our last, if you like, procedural meeting, and we'll move into substance from this point forward. What you have in front of you on the screen and in document form is a straw man proposal that is meant to commence our substantive discussion. Our charter, which is a product of the study group on country and territory names, charges us with two primary tasks, one and interrelated. One is determine, is it possible to develop a framework for how country and territory names might be treated at the top level? And two, make recommendations as to what that framework might look like. It's important at this point to emphasize that our work is strictly limited by the scope of our charter, which was strictly limited by what had been undertaken at the level of the study group. Given the enormity of this task and the issues that were faced in developing new GTLD policy for the applicant guidebook, this group and the previous group were constrained to the ISO 3166 list. The ISO 3166 list has, if you like, three manifestations, and this group's work can be then divided into three work streams. And I think they're consecutive work streams rather than simultaneous work streams for a variety of reasons. What we have is two-letter country codes as set out in ISO 3166-1. The alpha two-letter codes, alpha three-letter codes, and then the names of the countries and territories in the ISO list. What we have put down onto paper, if you like, is a path forward for how we discuss these things. And you'll see that what we've summarized to start off with in each one of these categories is the status quo, meaning the status quo of ICANN policy in respect of these things, looking at GTLDs and CCTLDs. This is largely the work that we've done up to now in this group, which is really confirming the work that had been done by the study group and set out in a great deal of detail in the study group's final report. And one of our first tasks in this group was to say, has anything changed since the study group report was published? And we came to the answer that really nothing substantive in terms of policy had changed, that the implementation of new GTLD policy had, of course, brought up anomalies and certain instances in how names were classified as falling into module 2.2.1.4 of the new GTLD applicant guidebook, but that the policy itself had not changed. So with that in mind, we've set out the status quo, followed by, out of the status quo, what are the issues? What are the issues that the study group raised? What are the issues that we could immediately think of off the top of our head in terms of developing, again, aiming to the point of the study group and what we're mandated to do under the charter? What are the challenges to developing a consistent framework in relation to the use of these particular strings? And you'll see that we've seeded the list. Again, this is a straw man. This is not at all in any way, I have to make this crystal clear, this is a starting point for our discussions. We've seeded some ideas here. What are the challenges? We'll have discussions about what more challenges exist. And then finally, possible options. Bearing in mind the status quo, bearing in mind the issues, what options does ICANN have? What options does the community have for how these things might be treated as an overarching policy relating not just to Gs but to country codes as well. So as you flip through the document, I suppose, as I say, this is really our, I hope, final, mainly procedural meeting in a sense. What I would like to do is discuss the concept of this framework as a path forward. We don't have a great deal of scope to expand the number of categories of things that we're looking at, so beyond the two-letter, three-letter, and full name, because that really is our charter. This is what we have been tasked with doing. It's really the approach as to how we go about doing that. And as you can imagine, given the complexity of the issue, it's been difficult to reach this point, even in determining how procedurally we go about doing things. I'll say a bit before I open the floor about why I believe these things ought to be addressed sequentially. Two-letter country codes, there is existing policy on this and some background to this. And one of the things, in fact, one of the things that's missing from this document is the... is the justifications... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's a dot point that we folded into the status quo. One thing that will need to be considered for each one of these three categories is why. And it's a question that the study group did not take up. It wasn't part of the study group's mandate. I think in order to determine whether a policy framework is possible going forward, we obviously need to explore why. And in relation to each of the options we put forward, what are the benefits and burdens of each of those forms of frameworks? In relation to two-letter country codes, there's a greater depth of background as to why those were restricted within the new GTLD round. There's a great deal of history that goes back with that. And I believe this is a good starting point in that the ISO 3166 list is quite clear. We have no question as to what these two-letter codes are. We have a background as to why they've been, parked in previous policy on both generic and country code top-level domains. Three-letter codes, slightly more challenging, but not greatly so. And then finally, the full names or short form, long and short form names of the entities on this list. And I believe, based on the work of the study group, that will be our greatest challenge. And I think if we're able to deal sequentially with these things, we'll learn some lessons about our own methodology and our own thinking about how we approach these. And in identifying challenges in relation to two- and three-letter codes, I think that will help us to identify challenges and issues in relation to long and short form names. So hence my proposal is, and it's not certainly not something that has been agreed or even discussed in great detail amongst the co-chairs, is that we try and deal with these things sequentially. With that, I'd like to open the floor. If anyone has any questions about how this came about, what it looks like, the information that's here, and what's being proposed, please, by all means, raise them. And this is Heather Forrest. I'll add as well, if any of my co-chairs would like to offer input. Paul, I'm looking at you from the background of the study group. If there's anything, having chaired the study group, that you feel would be helpful here, then that would be wonderful.
Thank you, Heather. It's Paul Schindler here for the record. There's probably little that I could add right now because I don't want it to sound like the co-chairs are mutually slapping each other's back saying job well done so far. But what I'd like to note for the participants who either only tangentially participated in the study group or are new to this process or to our discussions as part of the working group is that generally we tend to work fairly, well, it's A, collegiately, it's B, based on these straw man models where if you start reading through some of the examples and options that we have listed, they might maybe deemed to be extremely contentious to you and your community to start with. As long as everybody comes into these meetings acknowledging that it is just a straw man, these ideas are put down there simply to stimulate thought and discussion. It's a lot easier for someone to put up their hand, we've found, and say, no, I don't like this, rather than to force them to come up with a concept themselves and advocate what they do like. So there are things, even in this very early iteration of a straw man, that please don't assume that the co-chairs in any way endorse it. It's just to facilitate conversation. This reflects closely the approach the study group took. I'll say as chair of that, I thought it worked relatively well. So that's why we've adopted the process going forward. However, we do have a tendency to rely on what we've done before. So again, I'd reiterate what Heather said. We'd welcome views from newcomers as to other ways they'd like to approach this process. And at the risk of monopolising the microphone, I'll wrap it up now, but chip in later on.
Thank you, Paul. Would anyone like to raise comments, concerns, sharpen your sticks? Does this appear to be a logical approach for going forward, the methodical one, wherein we look at each category? Cheryl, you're nodding your head, so I'm going to pick on you. Yes? All right, yes, general agreement for the process. What we are missing in this document and what I'd like to do, this is really a draft, you see a few notes in the margin, is we'll tidy this up and we'll circulate to the list. There's two pages that sit in front of this that have a bit of background, why we've put this paper together. We've made that explanation orally today, but for the record, we'll post the whole paper on the list. Anyone who is not a member of our group who would like to see that document, I don't see any reason why, Lars Bart, why we couldn't put it onto our webpage. And that will make it available to the public. The webpage is very easy to find. It sits, for absolute clarity, I'm mindful of my friends in the CCNSO. It does sit in the CCNSO breadcrumb trail, if you like, our group. And that's really just a historical convenience arising from the fact that the study group was initially called by the CCNSO. And rather than develop a whole new page on the GNSO site, we've left things parked there. So to the extent that you look for CCNSO country and territory names, you will find us and our current work. Excellent. With that in mind, I suppose as a procedural point, it's not normally something we do in this group, but given the interest of the community here, what I would propose that we do is perhaps have a motion to approve this as a path forward and a seconder, and we record that in the minutes of the meeting, if we're willing. Yeah, so moved by Cheryl Langdon Orr, and seconded by Paul. Thank you very much. All right, with that in mind, our second item on the agenda is potential for cooperation with the GAC Working Group on the Protection of Geographic Names. The co-chairs drafted, I suppose this is again an update of what's happened since LA, the co-chairs drafted a straw man to start that processed through the group in the course of meetings in December and I guess November and December, because the letter was posted at the end of December, participating in the comment process that was enlivened by the publication of a proposal within what was then a subgroup of the GAC and is now, I understand, a working group within the GAC. And our primary comment, if you like, the thrust of the comments that we submitted were that it procedurally seemed rather difficult and illogical to have two parallel work streams overlapping a particular issue. Now, it's important to emphasize at this stage that, as we said with the framework that you see in front of you, or the roadmap for developing the framework, our scope in this group is strictly limited. It's strictly limited to country and territory names as set out in ISO 3166-1. The proposal upon which we were commenting is, of course, much broader than that. And our chief concern articulated in that letter was the existence of two parallel work streams covering ISO 3166-1. And I suppose it would be helpful at this stage. I know that we're joined by Olga Cavalli. And Olga, you've missed our round the table introduction, so I'll ask you to do that. I'm aware that we have a session on Wednesday in the schedule, and we don't have the benefit of knowing what will happen at that session. But I would appreciate if you could provide us with a very short synopsis of the comments that were received, whether our comment has been taken into consideration, and what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you for the invitation. And first, apologies for not being so active in the group. I'm a member of the group, but honestly, there's so much going on in all this process that it has been difficult for me to join the calls, but I followed the list. Thank you for the comments that you sent to our document. I think that you said something very interesting, that you said that and about the overlapping thing. I think it's our vision is that both groups are totally complementary, because you focus in those names that are in the list, and you just mentioned, and I took note of that, strictly limited to the ISO list. And what we are trying to do is an exercise of what would happen, how can we lower uncertainty for the applicant, for the countries, for the community, of those names that are not in the list. So the point is a different perspective. It's totally a complement of the work that you do. So we don't see it as a competition. We see it as a group that can be enhanced in between the group in the GAC, which is now a working group, and the group that you co-chair with the other co-chair. So that's the first comment. All the information about the comments received, a summary of all the comments received, prepare a first draft by our secretariat, Michelle. Thank you so much for that. She's great. And reviewed by the working group. It's online. Also, the structure of the session, it's online. It's in the GAC web space. So I can send you the link later today, but it's there. It's 1 hour. I will do a brief introduction of the different type of comments that we received, which I will explain now. And then we will have five speakers, very short time for each of them, trying to explain what their contributions were. We have invited, as you suggested yesterday during the cocktail, the GNSO, so it's included. Thank you for that suggestion. We haven't had the confirmation from them so far, but we hope that we have it. We will have a remote participant from Africa. We will have the GNSO, the CCNSO, the ALAC, and I'm missing one. It will come. I have a horrible jet lag, so I'm sorry for that. And then we will have interaction with the audience, like 20 minutes, hopefully 15, and some remarks. What the working group didn't have time to do was to prepare a new version of the background document. So we are reviewing the background document, we are reviewing the comments, and with the input from the audience, from the comments, and from all the things that we will talk in the session on Wednesday, we will work in a new version, hopefully to be reviewed by the Buenos Aires meeting. Which comments we receive? We received like almost 26 comments. They are all online. Comment period was extended until the 31st of December, as requested by several organizations and the community. We thought it was okay. We translated the background document into several languages, which is online. So we received three types of comments. Part of the comments say, no, just we don't like it. Reject, and no proposal. Some of the comments says, we don't like it, but we may engage in further dialogue. We think there are some things that we can work upon from here. And some comments say, we have some ideas on how to move forward. We can make a proposal on how to build up from here, lower uncertainties, work on scenarios, I don't know. We have some proposals in the document. I won't talk about that because that's not the point of the conversation. So we invited those comments that do make a proposal. Why? If we do nothing, if we have the same rules and we go to the next round, we will have the same problems. So the point is trying to build upon the experience, and this is the part of the comments that we have received. It's learning from the experience and trying to refine the rules, which is the mandate that we have from the GAC community in Durban. Try to refine the rules. The GAC should work with ICANN and with the community in trying to refine the rules for the next round of new GTLDs. So this, the comments that do make a concrete proposal on how we could move forward and how we could enhance this dialogue and have ideas on how to lower uncertainties and enhance the process and make it better, learning from the experience, are the ones that I invited. Of course, everyone is invited to attend. Unfortunately, we have only 1 hour. We wanted to have it as a more broad community session on Monday, but it was impossible finding the space into the different meetings schedule. It was very conflicting because there are many rooms located for the IANA transition and the accountability. So I'll stop here, and I'm happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga, for that summary. Any questions, please, in relation to what Olga has, the information Olga's provided? Bart?
Hi, Olga. Just one question for clarification is going back, say, when you started around the limited scope of this working group. The way I have understood the scope of this working group, the starting point is the names of country and territories listed on the ISO 3166. But what is flowing from this, say that's the starting point for all policies around CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs. And it's precisely because of IDN CCTLDs where it becomes tricky and difficult. In some cases, you will see that the names of countries in say the full names in countries or abbreviations, which has been used in IDNs, are not listed on the ISO 3166 list, etc. But they are flowing, and so the question is that in the remit of this group, in your view, or is that in the remit of, say, your working group? Because the starting point, let me explain why, the starting point, especially from a CCNSO's perspective, was you have some names of countries and territories, especially, a very good example is, for example, .rf in Cyrillic, which RF, which is the IDN code for the Russian Federation. At the same time, which would have been a logical choice as well, is .russia in Cyrillic. According to the rules of the IDN CCTLD fast track, they're not eligible because they've chosen already .rf. But it's very strange if you end up in a situation that because of this rule, and maybe in time that rule will be alleviated, it is eligible as a new GTLD. Because that's the implication that was the major concern for starting the study group in the first place, is because you got this limitation to one string per country in a specific script, that the other strings, like Russia and Cyrillic, would not fall under this mechanism. Another example why this study group started and why the cross-community working group is looking at it is, again, the name of a country. In this case, let's take, I think Norway is a very good example, because I know this one, and it's documented in the study group report. Say, another rule in the fast track and in the overall policy is that the language in which of the name of the country needs to be a designated language. Effectively means an official language of the country, but that caused some confusion because designated language, it has the same definition and it's derived from what is in the UNGEGN manual. It's a language used in administrative in matters, for example, tax issues or in tax law, etc., under which you can apply. Now, unfortunately, fortunately, depends on where you're from, French is not a Norwegian designated language. However, if you would look at, say, the IDM, the name in French for Norway is Norvège, that would be eligible as an IDN. Again, in future, that could change. And now the question is, again, although, say, ISO 3166 is clearly including Norway because it's listed on there, do you think an example like Norvège is part, say, of trying to define a framework for this group, or should it go and stay within the GAC working group? So these are just two examples, and there are others as well. And that's probably, that was the background of say, the study group.
Thank you, Bart. It's a very good question. You know, this is very challenging because there are many boundaries that are not so strict, and things go back and forth. I should go back to the working group to ask this question, to give you an answer now. I think that those problems would be of this working group. What we are trying to focus is on names that are in any way in any list, but are relevant for communities. Subregions, regions, rivers. And I know it's very challenging because there are big rivers, small rivers, big regions, big subregions, and they are not in list. That's the point. For communities, those names have a value. For the countries and for the governments, those names have a value. For other rules, those names are available just because they are not in list. So what we can do to have some rules to lower the uncertainty for, say, a company that wants to apply for that subregion name and the country that could think that they have some, their community, the millions of people that live in that big place have a say about that. So I think the example that you mentioned, it's very good for your working group, but we can work together. But I should go back to the working group and bring the question to the whole group.
Let me, and I think the question was raised, and I specifically focused, because that's in the charter, and I think, and that's the only concern from the CCNSO, only is to talk about, the names of countries, or in principle, countries and territories which are listed in ISO 3166. That's the starting point. All other geographic boundaries or terms like rivers, subregions, cities names of cities and towns are completely excluded of this working group. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was set up, as a cross-community working group, and that's why the GAC was invited at the time, because it's I think, in everybody's interest that, especially at the level of the names of countries and territories, that it is done in a joint fashion, and that you don't have two initiatives going at the same, dealing with the same topic. Yeah.
So again, I think it's totally complementary. That's our vision. We can work together. There are some things that could be maybe overlapping a little bit, but I don't see a big overlapping. We're focusing on different things, and we know that there are legal challenges. We know that, and we face them. And honestly, for the governments, was not an easy task to do. For the GAC, was not easy. It was not easy, the early warning, not easy, the GAC advice. And finally, things happened, and it brought uncertainty to the companies, uncertainty to the government. So that's the point of our work. And this is what if you go to the Durban communique, it says, refine the rules and trying to, and it specifically talks about the rules of the new GTLDs to avoid this that happened again. So it's not in the list. That's the work of the group, and this is why the GAG is involved. And we talked about, it was here in Singapore that we had the conversation in the Collier room, and we said, let's try not to overlap, and I think we are not overlapping. I think that we are complementing our work. Thank you.
Could I take a cue for comments, please, just so we don't descend into pandemonium? Daniel, all right. I have Daniel from the Cayman Islands. Anyone else like to join the queue? Tell me your name. Elisa. Anyone else join the queue? And I'll join after Elisa. So, Daniel, if we can get the roving microphone to you, please.
So, a typical example of what we're talking about and this serious uncertainty, the Cayman Islands. And then a German company that makes cars have a Cayman.
For the record, Lars said it's a beautiful car. Thank you, Daniel, for the helpful example. Elisa, please.
Thank you. I've been part of this group too for a while, but I've been swallowed up by the CVG process, so I have been out of the picture for a long time. But I just wanted to say that when I listen to this conversation, it's like, would it be helpful if we had some kind of approach in the GAC where we explained our group towards this group and draw a line and be more systematic towards what you are doing, and that this is a complementary exercise that looks into the GAC concerns on this, but it doesn't. Would it be helpful if we have some sort of a more official, or what shall I say, explanation, so that at least for the community, it doesn't look like we are.
Can I add something to
that? I'll respond to start with, and then Olga, I'm happy to enter your name to the queue. This and Paul, would you like to be in the queue? Look, I have this written down in my notes as a suggestion. I suppose what this group would like to see, given the nature of its comments, is some acknowledgement, formal acknowledgement, of your group, of the work that we're doing. I think I'm struggling, and I know some of my co-chairs struggle with the use of this term complementary. Because that, in its very nature, suggests two parallel work streams. In principle, the GAC expressing its comments in a particular area, that's your prerogative, let's say. That's something that the GAC can do. But we have formed a cross-constituency working group to which the GAC has been invited. And the community has empowered this group to deal with recommendations in relation to names arising on the 3166 list. So to the extent that your group is able to somehow fold its efforts in to this group in relation to that specific question, that would be preferable. That would be consistent with the formation of a cross-constituency working group of which you two are members. I'll take comments on that and then come back to another point, if I may.
Now, I think the approach the GAC has had, the reason why we have this work in the GAC, and you correct me, Olga, if you think it's wrong, but it is a general concern or experience with the GTLD process, you know, that we have in certain regions good example of conflicts with governments. So it's always going to be there as a concern in the GAC, you know, the use of geographical terms. So I think, but it is very unfortunate if we have a process that seems like it's diving into yours, you know, with different views or merging your group or this group in the wrong way. So I think it's very, when you said that you want an acknowledgement of this being a cross-community working group, I think that is very useful. I think that the GAC should do that.
Yep. Can I compliment? I want to compliment to Elise's comments. Thank you, Elise, for that, and you're totally right. Maybe complementary is not the right word. English is my second language, and I have my limitations. So if you have another word that could say that it's a work that it's not exactly the same and it's focused in a different way to other problems, we could be happy to use it. I'm not a native English speaker, but it's a common language for work. What I would like to say is that this, which was as a working group, has become a working group, and a lot of attention is on it. It has been an evolution. It was an idea that started in the GAC communique in Durban, and it has been growing of attention of the whole community. And this is why we thought it could be convenient to bring comments. We don't know. Many people come to us and say, what is this? Is a GAC advice? Or we don't know. It may become GAC advice. It may become an issues report to the GNSO. It may become a comment sent to a process in the future from some countries, or may not. We don't know. What we know is there is a concern from governments, very important concern about lowering uncertainties about the usage of certain names which are relevant for our countries, for our governments, for our communities, and also the uncertainties were for the companies that requested those names as new GTLDs. Thank you.
I have a queue. I have Bart and then Paul and Annabeth. Anyone else like to join? No? And then I'll make some closing remarks after Annabeth.
None. All right. For the record, it's Paul Schindler, not Bart Boswinkle. And I understand, Olga, English is my first language, and often I struggle with it too. But I didn't want to get too far into linguistic gymnastics, and having had some experience from the bureaucratic side, I might be less diplomatic than Heather has been. What I'm conscious of from experience is that when something comes out of the GAC communique, that's a very strong, very clear statement of the GAC that this is an area of interest and that a significant number of governments would like to follow it up, and everything that you've said already. What I'm concerned about is that is what we're asking, and I think it's getting towards what Elisa said, is there room for, in your working document, the one that you've presented to the community and have said is about, well, it's essentially just a working document at the moment, but you're building on the communique statement. Is there room for explicitly building in a very brief acknowledgement of the work that is going on in this group? Because, and we don't even need to go into the details, you just acknowledge this group and what it's doing and the area and summarise it as the areas of work as outlined in our mandate, in our charter, because we're all working in the spirit of removing confusion, and I think that would. I'm just curious whether it's problematic for the GAC to talk about what it's not doing as opposed to what it is doing, or whether you've got that level of flexibility to make that mention. And I think that would allay a lot of the concerns, if that was done, of the members of this group.
Bart?
Just one point, and I think that it is, as you said, you are on, say, as a member of this working group. And in order to ensure say overlap or avoid overlap, maybe it would be helpful if some of more of your colleagues would participate in the work of this working group as well. I know it's difficult, but at least as observer participant and not as full member, in order not to commit to anything as we see that is a concern for the GAC itself. But it shows, say, that this working group, and if it leaves out areas that you think it would have covered, which it didn't, then you can raise it or bring it back to your own. It is to build up, say, to ensure that, say, the starting point is correct, but also down the path forward, say, that delineation between the group is clear all along the way. So, and it would be helpful to avoid situations like we've seen in other cross-community working groups that we rely on just one person from the GAC.
Thank you, Bart. I have Annabeth, and then I'll add Carlos to the queue.
Yeah, it's Annabeth Lang for the record. I think that what confused us in this working group
mostly was when we saw the text from the GAC and their suggestion to include in the paragraph 2214 in the applicant guidebook, it comprised everything of geographical names and specifically also country and territory names. And that's when we started to see what's happening here. We are working with country and territory names. And another thing, that the word territory names are confusing because it's the words of the ISO 3166 list, and it's territory in another sense than, for example, Patagonia. To take an example, it's the territories that's derived from the list, and it's not a nation, not a country. So from the Norwegian part of view, it's Bouvet Island. Funnily enough, we have a .bv and a .sj, but Norway.no is our country, and then we have two territories that historically is on play. It's there because the list John Postel used. So that kind of territory. But it's not the same as a region in a country that we want to eventually possibly protect. So that's what, in my view, created the confusion, that we would think it was really unfortunate if this cross-community group came up with a suggested solution for the country and territory names from the ISO list and then included in your work in the GAC, since you comprise it all, have another understanding and what kind of method and tool we should use to avoid the confusion. That's why it's really important that on country and territory names from ISO list, we have to work closely together. So I think that Paul's suggestion, if we could have some words in your document to clarify the difference and how we should do this together to find a good result, that would be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabeth. We'll keep our cue. Lisa, I'll add you, Carlos. All right, Lisa.
I see the confusion with us mentioning country and territory names when you have this working group. You have to be aware that country and territory names was part of the GAC advice towards the GTLD process from 2007. So it's always been there as an expression that GAC has a concern about this. So that's why it's hanging there. That's why it's still part of, let's say, the GAC discussions as such. It's not something that dropped into this group or as a parallel or just popped up. It's always been there as a major concern for the GAC. And now, of course, we are... But this working group that Olga is having, it's an internal GAC working group. It's just something that we look into in the GAC. So I think, but I think in our working documents, we should maybe underline that since we are also part of this working group. That's the problem. Since if we were not part of this, it wouldn't be the confusion thing.
Could we have to go back to the working group and review this idea, but maybe you could send us a text that you would be happy with and we can review it in the working group, and if we agree, we can add it to the document.
Thank you, Olga. That would be really good. And I know, Elisa, that all about the 2007 principles. I was at the GAC at the time, so I know. But and of course I know that the country names are, it's a concern of the government, of course. It's the main geographical name. It's on the top of the hierarchy. But still, since it's already a cross-community working group started work with it and really takes that seriously. So if we could find a way to leave that work to us while you are working on the other part, and then we communicate about the borders and the overlaps and whatever. So if you could make the community aware, more aware, so they are not afraid that we have two different results, that would be the main thing.
I've been in the GAC many years, you know, and also in the GNSO. I've been around for 10 years in this community. I have never seen such an openness from the GAC as of this working group, honestly, and you know that. So, and Elise can concur with me. So that was our idea, to open it as much as possible. We started in Buenos Aires sharing with the whole community, and then we follow with all the other meetings, and then we had this idea of having the comments through the website, and now we have the summary that it's online. So from the GAC perspective, is very much open to usual work.
We'll return to the queue. Carlos, please, followed by Bart, and I'll join the queue after Bart.
I feel very young because I haven't been that long, either in the GAC or in ICANN. But I would like to try to wrap up a little bit what we have said here. First of all, there is a historical line, as we heard this morning. Country and territories existed well before ICANN was formed. So in the round of the new GTLDs, it was obviously excluded, explicitly excluded, as you mentioned, as of 2006. And on the one hand, one of the tasks here is to revise this situation as proposed on the straw man. The new round of GTLDs of 2012, I don't know what the official name is, was very successful in expanding, at least in cities, with the procedure of consulting to communities. We shouldn't forget that it has been very successful in one-step expansion. And third, the new round brought new problems or new issues or new conflicts. I don't want to limit it to rivers or regions or intellectual property or country names. So we should somewhere recognize this small historical review that we did here. It would be very informative for any group from here on, but we need to clean up a little bit the wording. I wouldn't take the responsibility on this side to dictate to you. I mean, we can do it jointly, but very positive word that I heard was boundaries. Probably this one would help us to clarify this work. We still have a semantic problem in the titles. We're talking about the use, and you're talking about the protection. I mean, this is one that we have to really talk about, because I don't want to draft anything that will bring us about in this conflict. And also, I really request that we discuss this openly in a call or on a mailing list, how we're going to prioritize work, because we know we have other things out there in the lobby, Ayana transition and things like that, you know, and try to use the focus this group really to a small step-by-step approach. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Directly related? Yes, Olga.
Thank you, Carlos. Our idea was that you send a draft. It's not that we will accept it as it is. And the idea is not that we create a group to draft the comment in the blah, blah, blah. The idea is that we have a mention in our document. That's what I got from your comments. And if you send a draft, we can send it to the group and review it, and maybe we have comments. We shouldn't make up, I don't know, Elise, if you agree, we shouldn't make a big new working group about what has to be mentioned in the text. It's just, if you want a recognition about the work that you do, that's fine. Send us a text. We will review it.
Lisa, and then I'm conscious of the queue. We have Bart and myself.
It's almost funny that we mentioned that you're using the term use, and we are using the term protection, because it's the picture of the government towards, you know, the more, yeah, well, whatever. But I think we should definitely look into terms so we don't speak different language, because that's also confusing towards which groups goes into what, and are we really talking about different subjects or whatever. We were talking about the timeline. Does anyone have all these, who's been there for a long time, or have can we put up a timeline? Because I think that's also going to be useful if we can present to the GAC that this is the cross-community working group. It started
there. From 2007, we had the GAC principles. Then we had, you know, the DTLD process. And now we have a working group internally in the GAC to follow up on our concerns in the first round and also all the problems that we had because the GAC advice was not accepted fully and so on. Because that will also, for ourselves, tidy up where we are. It's just a working tool.
This is Heather. I'm happy to leave Bart to comment on the substance. I don't object to the use of a timeline, to the documentation of a timeline. However, this cannot descend into who did what first. This is not what either group is tasked to do, to say, well, who put the line in the sand first, and that's the line that we draw from, because that's obviously not your mandate or ours. So as long as we progress in that understanding, that this isn't about who put the mark on the sand first.
Totally agree. Just as an internal work tool.
Let me put it, I wanted to answer your question in a different way. I think this goes back to 2009, around the time when, before even the study group was formed, it was at a joint effort, and especially thanks to the GAC, that the country and territory names, as, say, derived from the ISO 3166, were excluded from the new for the first round of this GTLDs. So there is a footnote in the applicant guidebook which exclude all country and territory names in all languages. Now, unfortunately, if you just do a little bit arithmetic, that is unsustainable. Depends on your definition of languages. If you just go for living languages, I think there are about 6,000. Take this times 265, so that's just the official long name, then you end up around 1 million terms, which is, that's the consequence of just this little footnote, and nobody, that will create confusion, that will. So one of the reasons why this working group came into existence is to address that issue. And this is going back to the recommendation of the CCNSO Council or the resolution of the CCNSO Council, if it shows that this working group, this cross-community working group, doesn't make enough progress in advance of the second round of new DTLDs, then the CCNSO Council would request the GAC to write a letter again together with the CCNSO Council or the CCNSO as a whole to extend that rule in the applicant guidebook until such time that, say, there is a resolution. So that puts a little bit pressure on this group as well, but at the same time ensures the exclusion of country and territory names in the future because, again, of the IDN issues out of the second round of new GTLDs. So that's another way of looking at time.
Direct comment?
No. What you just said, you know, we know, some of us knows it, but a lot for the GAC as such, not as who came first, but just for us to explain within the GAC that we are part of a process, that this is not, the GAC is not holding this. This is an internal thing in the GAC that we are looking at our concerns, but we have an obligation to this group. And in that sense, it could be useful that we can say that this would happen then, and then we had a cross-community working group and like this. And it's only for us to explain, so we have the GAC, you know, because... Well, people get carried away by discussions, and suddenly you have conclusions or whatever, and you lose the space you're in and where you are.
So it's more a historical overview of what happened when. Yes. That's what you mean by timeline.
I think when we are discussing this, it shows that we need that.
Thank you. It's important, and I appreciate, Bart, your interjection as to the CCNSO. I think it's very important at this juncture to recognize that we're dealing with policy making that falls under the bylaws with the GNSO. We're talking about GTLD policy, and there's a very rich history of negotiation within the GNSO and its many stakeholder groups and constituencies that would need to be inputted into that discussion. I was in the queue, and I'll make a few comments here. Olga, I'll go back to the beginning and say this is my reaction. It's not one. It's something that a phrase that you've used. I haven't talked to any of the co-chairs in the group about it, but this characterization of comments, no, we don't like it, no, we don't like it, but we may engage in further dialogue, yes, we like it, in terms of the comments to your proposal. I do believe, having read all the comments, that that's not an accurate, and again, we're not talking linguistic semantics here, but I think that characterization is very unhelpful. It creates an antagonistic environment, this no, we don't like it, and we're going to sit in the corner and sulk kind of an attitude. I would not be able to characterize the comment that we have drafted as co-chairs of this group as fitting in any of these baskets. No, we don't like it, and we're not going to speak to you, or no, we don't like it, but we may engage in further dialogue. I don't think that that's really a helpful characterization. And going to that, were the participants in the panel that you have on Wednesday, were they selected across those baskets of types of comments, or how was it that the panel was constituted?
The working group thought that it could be useful to hear those that have proposal. So, and we included GNSO because some countries of the GAC requested that, and you also requested that, and we thought it was good. But honestly, we didn't receive comments from the GNSO itself. We received comments from the IPC constituency, from the registry constituency, and I think it's it. And so those that do make a concrete proposal on how we could move forward or how could we do the work from now on are invited to talk. Of course, we will have 20 minutes and you are happy to join us, and your comments are welcome. And also from the whole community, we only have 1 hour, unfortunately. I take the full responsibility for the wording. It's my lack of knowledge of English. As I said, it's my second language, and I have my limitations. I apologize if it's not good language, and I promise to change it. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Again, this is not, if we had this conversation in Spanish, we'd find that I had very little to say, and it had mainly to do with ordering beers in bars. This is not about linguistic ability, but I think in terms of a dialogue that is very sensitive, yeah, you've mentioned a number of times that this is an issue of great concern for the GAC. This is an issue of great concern for the community, as comes out in those comments, and we all need to be very careful as to the terminology that we use. And I take Lisa's point that terminology is something across the board that we all need to be careful of, let's say. And just to clarify, Olga, picking up on your comment, do we have cross-representation across that panel of each one of those, let's say, a group that's in favor of the proposal, a group that has other options, and then a group that isn't, or?
Some in favor, some that are not in favor. We try to invite those that would engage in further dialogue, that we think that's very valuable, and those that have a concrete proposal and maybe don't agree in the full sense of the document, but would engage, or they have some ideas on how we could solve the problem. So those are the ones. The others are happy to join, but again, we feel if we do nothing and we just say we reject the document, we will have the same problems. So we want to focus on those that are constructive.
Annabeth?
Thank you, Olga. I think we should appreciate that you have opened up and sent this out for a hearing, to be honest, because it's a new thing. To send the thing, the document out for a hearing, that's very good. Because
to have a comments period.
Yeah, and it's, as you said, it's an internal discussion in the GAC, and you send it out for comments from the community, and that's a good thing. So and we could have risk that you discuss this all the way in the GAC, and then we got a result. So at least now the community have a possibility to come in and come with our comments, and we should use this opportunity, all of us, to discuss, to find a solution that's best for the whole community in the end. So I would just wanted to say in the end here, thank you, and thank you for coming here to discuss this with us.
Just a clarification, you want me to send a document to you? Is that what you... I cannot hear you very well, sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to thank you for sending the document out already, so we got the comments and can discuss the different options. Sorry.
Thank you, Annabeth. That's a very constructive way to wrap up the discussion. I believe it has been a very constructive discussion over time. We're learning more and more about the work that each of the group is doing. I appreciate the frank discussion that's happened here, and I very much hope that can continue. And I would like to end this topic by emphasizing a comment made, I believe, by Bart, perhaps also by Paul, that it would be very helpful to have more of your colleagues from the GAC here, knowing what we know, that this is an issue on which the GAC is divided. It would be helpful to broaden the discussion, let's say, and within this space, not only Wednesday, but within this space, hear the full range of views, and this is a wonderful place for those views to be aired. With that, unless there are further questions... Looking around the room and seeing none, I will turn to Annabeth to take up the topic of planning ahead and milestones until Buenos Aires. And with that, I excuse myself. Thank you very much.
So the next thing we have on our agenda is planning ahead. It's not that far away to Buenos Aires. So I suppose we should... try to have some more telephone conferences, Bart and Lars. And the more of the members that participate, the better. It is a little difficult when we have had these conversations that too few people attend. And to move forward with the speed we want to do, we need constructive input from the community and the working group. At least now we have this strawman, and I suppose that after this meeting we can work more on it, and you have it as well. And since Heather has made this table, it would be of great help if you could look it through and read it and come with some constructive input. What do you think are the benefits? What is the risks and the things you don't like with the different options? So it's really up to you to see how the speed goes on. We can't do it alone. Even if the staff is doing a lot of good work for us, we need you on board. So, Paul, can you chip in?
Thank you. It's Paul Schindler for the record. I just wanted to add to what Annabeth said. It ties back to a point that I made earlier about the way this group works. There's no punishment, there's no repercussion for brainstorming or for ideas being heard. It's interesting, I'll go back to the study group. We had an interesting example. I think Daniel talked about Cayman Islands and that clashes with the Cayman. Well, its three-letter code was .cym, which had a potential clash for Cymru and the Welsh, and that's why they went with the full spelling rather than a short one, because it was reserved for the Cayman Islands. There are great examples of Google applying for Android, .and, .est, and .r, all of which are three-letter codes, all of which this group had already discussed, and we used them as case studies. And oddly enough, soon after we discussed it, Google withdrew their applications for those three. So even if it was just our discussion, it somehow, I think it filtered through to them. So it just goes to show the level of lack of understanding across the community. And it's not a boring, dull academic exercise to come up with these interesting examples and case studies. And in the same way, the table we've got here and the current document in front of us, is quite stimulating in terms of what it proposes. Do you leave two-letter codes exactly the way they are now? Do you allow ones that are not currently two-letter codes to be registered or used for other purposes? Or do you make it open slather? Can you use them as new GTLDs? That's hugely contentious for anyone around the table from different perspectives, but we want to encourage people to... It doesn't matter if you say, well, of course we can't make it open slather because there's a history. That is the start of the conversation, and that's the tone we're trying to set up both at meetings and when we chat intersessionally.
So is it any comments from the floor? Carlos?
Yes, I have to insist that this has been a very empty group, only the co-chairs with the help of the staff. We need more involvement here. I think it's a very important issue. As you mentioned, there are other issues on the table that we have not even discussed on the second level domain. We have found a rule that allows everybody in the group to sleep between midnight and 6 in the morning, although I tend to be at 5 in the morning in the meeting because we really have Australia, Costa Rica and Europe involved in this exercise. So we have, but we need to prioritize really I focus on prioritizing this work, otherwise we won't look good, and we have to get organized if we want to address all issues or one after the other very, very soon. Thank you.
So Lars, can you help us setting up a timeline for meetings and a pattern how we'll do it?
Well, there's two options we could either. We can either decide to... So first of all, we should, I expect, decide on a principal interval. Do we want to have every 2 weeks a meeting, which we then, you know, lack of participation, we could always cancel on the day, but I think it might be good to have that in the calendar. And we could also rotate times. So say 1 week the meeting is at, I'm making up the times, 6 UTC, and the next week it's at 18 UTC. So that, you know, everybody at some point might have to go to bed early or late, or suffer, as Bart puts it. Yes, quite. So that's something I could roll out if you want, and we see how it goes. I suggest, obviously, next week, you know, we're coming down from the meeting, so nobody really wants to go straight back in. So maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, we have the first meeting, and then we give it a go with every 2 weeks, and see how that is accepted by the members.
I'm just going to say a plus one to that. I think a three-week, although we're getting very administrative here, a three-week interval to allow us to better explain the milestones. And obviously the simple milestone is we make progress with this straw man or the analysis of the straw man. But timings that we can, as the co-chairs and the secretariat, spend a little bit of time, you know, the first week after, and then as part of circulating that out, Lars proposes a fortnightly schedule. And as he said, we just cancel them if there's a lack of interest or a lack of progress. So, unless anybody disagrees violently.
And if possible, it would be really nice if one person from the GAC could participate on this once in a while, so we got a little exchange between this meeting and the next meeting in Buenos Aires.
We will try. I tried. What happened is that sometimes the timing for Argentina was kind of 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and I have my limits with the calls. So I can take at 11 p.m., at 7 a.m., but sometimes in the middle of the night, it's depending on what. But yes, we will try. I will do my best with the working group.
And it goes to what we just discussed. So if there are more of your colleagues interested in the topic to see how this is moving forward, by all means, they are invited, and we'll include them in the email list so they're kept abreast through that path in that way as well.
And we will continue to try to have it no later than midnight and no earlier than 5. Even that is quite hard, both of these as well. Carlos?
another comment towards Buenos Aires. Instead of fighting each one to have a one-hour session or one-and-a-half-hour session, I would propose that for Buenos Aires we try to get together a one-and-a-half-hour session for both. If we start working on that right now, we might be successful. So I hope we can fight for the spot and think later on how we distribute it within. But my spirit would be that we look for a joint time and not for two separate sessions in Buenos Aires to talk of all whatever title we give the new bundle of geographic issues.
Sorry, Carlos, I don't agree with that. I think it's two different things, and again, I don't know if the word is complementary or you can find a better one, but it's a different issue. This is a cross-community working group, and the other is an internal GAC working group that came out of a mandate of a communique. So it's a different thing. We can work together, we can try to not to overlap. I think we don't overlap, honestly. Oh, the overlapping is few, and we can work on that. But I don't see it as a blending thing. It's a different thing. I don't know if at least you agree.
Well, it's difficult to sit here and to say whether or not the GAC will, you know, merge the discussion, because it's a GAC concern, internal GAC discussion, as we said. So that's nothing we can do. And I guess that we will want to have internal GAC, or open, but in still internal GAC discussions on the concern of geographical names. But as we have agreed on earlier, is just to have the wording and the right towards what we are doing, and that it's not overlapping or complementing this. As long as that is done, I don't see a problem.
Don't get me wrong. I was talking about timing. Just timing and rooms. If we might get the same room back-to-back, 1 hour, one group and the other one following on the other one, would be a great logistical advantage. I fully respect your position. I was talking only about logistics. Thank
you. Yes, logistic is often in the GAC room for us, and we are stuck in the GAC room with different discussions, and we can so, and we don't have like 1 hour for this and then a discussion in the GAC afterwards. It's not what it's like. It's so. Again, but it's the dialogue now is there, so.
At least what we could do, those of us working, sitting in the working group, having contact with their GAC representative, and when we have had discussion in the working group on telecoms and we had some progress, that take contact with your GAC representative and give them the information we have, so try to keep them up to date as the development moves on. So is there any other business, something else you want to share with us or ask? Nothing? Well, let's close up. Thank you very much for your attendance, and have a nice meeting in the rest of the week.